Would you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, a passage that's probably well known to many of you? It has to do with the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. And they were utterly amazed, and they asked this, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is that each one of us hears from them in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of our God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've been drinking.'" Let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. What your Holy Spirit is just moving through this place and through this people here in this time and here in Hamilton. Lord, we thank you for young lives dedicated like Ronan. We thank you that we get to celebrate lives well lived, a 91st birthday with joy, reaching out into our community in Halloween, reaching third world children who have never had a gift and hearing about Jesus the first time through OCC boxes. Lord, thank you that we get to be a part of all of this. And we could not do it without the infilling of your precious Holy Spirit. So Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that hear, see, and spiritual ears that hear, everything you want to speak to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's only and always in the name of Jesus that we pray, saying, amen. So continuing this morning in our little fall sermon series, Jesus themes in Dr. Luke, after our time with Sam Namalabe from Uganda, East Africa last week. Remember, we have four Gospels, and each of these Gospels in the New Testament have their own unique understanding and experiences of Jesus, and they share those things in the different Gospels. And when we come to Luke, Dr. Luke, we find he was a keen and a very educated sort of eye. He focuses on a number of what we could call Jesus themes that are fascinating and that are sometimes even hilarious, right? And then he talks about more of these things in his companion volume, part two, which is the Acts of the Apostles. So again, as I've mentioned before, during this series, take time in your own personal devotions, read through the Gospel of Luke, pray through it, and then move right into Acts of the Apostles just to see this. And you could say the Acts of the Apostles, the main character in the Acts of the Apostles is actually the Holy Spirit. Everything is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're talking about these themes. We've touched on several of them. We've talked about food, the least of these, or least in society, worship, prayer, women, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you'll remember, just quick little review, did you notice in Luke, Jesus is always eating? There are 19 different times when Jesus is eating with people, having table fellowship with them, using that to promote the kingdom of God. I think the other Gospels relate about 6 times, but Jesus is always eating. We saw with Zacchaeus, he actually invited himself into Zacchaeus' home and said, "I'm going to stay with you, you're going to put me up for the night, and I'm going to eat your good food." It's hilarious, right? And Zacchaeus was a dastardly guy. We found out he was a chief tax collector who was on a first name with basis with Pontius Pilate, right? Jesus is touching the power structures of society both then and now. Who's allowed at Jesus's table, which is a good question on Communion Sunday? Well, all kinds of crazy characters who repent and put their faith in Jesus. As we've said 1,000 times, this communion table is not the property of Mosaic Church. It's for all who have trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we will be doing that soon. This morning, I want to talk about the vital importance of another Jesus theme. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, and that is such a big topic. It could be, oh gosh, a sermon series by itself. Again, the Holy Spirit is all over Luke's writings, and especially the Acts of the Apostles. Everything that good that happens in Acts happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Sam has talked about this with his Bush Bible students that he teaches in Africa. They talk about how important the Holy Spirit is in their lives and in their ministries, and why that is vital, really. So, big ideas today. Who is the Holy Spirit? What are signs of Spirit-filled living? And why does Dr. Luke make such a big deal about the Holy Spirit in his Jesus themes anyway? Well, we should say on the onset, right, there's a lot of unfortunate misunderstanding regarding the person and the role of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the followers of Jesus. Some of it has been from a lack of teaching, some of it is a result of poor teaching, and sometimes there are misguided cultural misunderstandings involved. Some of these things can be funny. Some of them can be quite tragic. Some of them could be just plain old heretical and false teachings, kind of like the time. When a new Catholic priest was so nervous about saying his first Mass that he went to his bishop to ask for his help. My, he's a priest. I got to call that kid father. Have you noticed at Bitterroot Health that the doctors look like babies these days? Or is it just me? Like, are you sure you're a doctor? And you can, okay. Anyway, the bishop said, okay, this is what you do, Father. You put a little small glass of vodka underneath the podium, which I don't do, I assure you. It may look that way, but I don't. And he said, you know, when you're nervous, just take a little sip next to the water. And he said, okay. Well, instead of sipping the vodka and drinking the water, he drank the booze, ignored the water, and proceeded to talk up a storm. He did that. When he returned to his office, he found a little note taped to his office door. Remember those days? From the advice from the bishop that entitled, Next Time. Number one, next time, Father, sip the vodka, don't gulp it. Number two, there are 10 commandments, not 12. There are 12 disciples and not 10. When you speak about the story of David and Goliath, we say Goliath was killed by a rock and not stoned. The recommendation, am I still on here? There we go. Before a meal is not rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. No. And finally, we never, ever refer to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as Big Daddy Jr. and the Spooky Ghost. FYI. Bad teaching. Even heretical. Now, as a child, I remember, maybe you do too, I was somewhat unsettled by the idea of the Holy Ghost. Right? Only later in my Christian life did I learn that the Holy Ghost wasn't connected to in any way to some sort of disembodied, angry ghost. It's just from the German word Geist, which means spirit, right? So I think it's probably today more helpful for us to say Holy Spirit instead of Holy Ghost. But you can use both. But because there are certain misunderstandings, maybe that's better. Our four Gospels, of course, talk about the Holy Ghost, but Luke and John talk a ton about the Holy Ghost. That's where we really have a lot of discussion there. Book of Acts talks about the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, over 50 times. And in Luke's Gospel, I noticed this week, people are filled with the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are told Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Christmas story. He was anointed by the Spirit, while God gives the Holy Spirit to all who asked. When was the last time in prayer you said, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit? I need your spirit. I got decisions to make. I'm living in this fallen world. I got to deal with dummies every day, including myself. Give me the Holy Spirit. And he will, if you ask. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the theology, right? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Now, I've talked with Muslim people, and they've actually said, well, you Christians believe in three gods, don't you? I'm like, no. God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is sometimes a little harder one to sort of wrap our minds around. The Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and Son, consubstantial, of the same substance as the Father and the Son, and co-eternal with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, we are told, proceeds from the Father and Son and is the communicative love of the Father and Son. And so one of the big images of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love, of God's love, which is very different from the world's love, isn't it? See, doing a little study this week, again, the cultural saying that I hate, you know, love is love. No, it's not. You can't have truth without love, and you can't have love without the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And he sends the Spirit as the Spirit of love, among other things, right? And so the great medieval theologian Thomas Aquinas said this. He said, the Holy Spirit is sent as love that he may dwell in us and move us to love both God and our neighbor. Right? You may know Christians of a more of a charismatic sort of variety where they think that the Holy Spirit is primarily about a kind of feeling, right? A kind of emotional uplift. And I'm not saying that's a totally bad thing. I mean, hopefully during times of worship, you feel lifted unto the Lord and all that good stuff. But we don't park it there, right? You can't, you know, if I feel good, I have the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. You know, sometimes the Spirit is right in the midst of your loss and your tragedy, right? I hope so. I hope that's when the Spirit really is present in your life, right? How do we know if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in our hearts and in our lives? Well, a practical indicator, and we talked about this at length in the past here at Mosaic, is what Paul calls what? The fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, if you haven't looked at that, right? Is your Christian life characterized by, or are you growing in the areas, right, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? That's a lot of stuff, right? My question to you is, are you growing in those areas, right? The marker for discipleship is not simply, you know, how many church services did you go to? How many times did you roll over and turn off the clock and not go to church? Sometimes I want to do that, but I can't. You can, but I can't, right? It's not about that. How many Bible studies? All those are meant to help you grow in the Spirit, and they're good. But really, you know, discipleship, are you growing in Christian love? Younger people in the Lord, be careful about praying specifically for patience. You know this one? Some of you who are older in the Lord, mature, like, ooh, be careful, because, you know, God will answer that prayer. And you know how God answers that prayer? You get trouble in your life. You learn to be patient. How about pray for joy, right? Joy is a flag of the Holy Spirit. We talked about this in adult ed today. It's like, you know, sometimes I hear Christians, you know, some Christians and some fellowships are just sort of like, you know? And I think I said, you know, it's like a dirge, you know? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's like, really? That's the joy? Christians who are not joyful, don't enjoy humor, those are signs of the Holy Spirit, may not have much of the Spirit of God in their lives. It's really funny what passes for Spirit-filled living in some fellowships. So you're just trying to dig through some of this a little bit today, hopefully, right? If you have these things in your life or you're growing in these things, I can guarantee you the Spirit of God is there and you can have more of the Spirit. How about that? But if you're saying, I don't really have much of any of that in my life. Maybe it's time for a spiritual checkup, right? That'd be a good thing to do. What's hindering the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Guaranteed problems would be disobedience and sin, right? That will restrict the access of the Spirit to your life. The Holy Spirit will not barge its way into your life. God will never make you, right, be obedient. But if you have the Spirit of love, you're going to want to be obedient, right? That's life, right? Again, this idea, you know, I just, you know, the ego, you know, that can be an acronym. Edging God out. The more ego you have, the more you're edging out the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't think you want that, right? Sometimes we think, you know, I got to be my own person or whatever. In Christianity, you do not find yourself by looking for yourself. No matter what the world may tell you, you find yourself by presenting yourself obediently and humbly before God, receiving Jesus Christ in joy, receiving the Spirit of love, and serving God and your neighbor. You want to become happy? Count your blessings, start serving God and your neighbor. And all of a sudden, things will start looking better. It's amazing how that works. We've talked about that, right? The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. Sometimes we have experienced hard things or even traumas that kind of hold us away from God and people. Maybe you need to talk to somebody this week. I'm available. Maybe you need to talk to a good Christian counselor because there's just some trauma, some hardship in your life, and that can free up things. It could be a variety of things. Simple fact of the matter is this: when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, this is what you do and commands you to do something or obey something, you simply do it. You don't ask tons of questions. You know the Spirit of God has sometimes spoken to your heart and you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to love my neighbor. I hate that guy. I don't want to have to apologize to someone. That's embarrassing. You know, all those kinds of things. Here's the thing. When you obey God's voice in your life, all of a sudden you'll hear it better and better. When you disobey, when you go da-da-da-da-da-da, the Spirit's voice becomes quieter and quieter. And you can't hear it as much. That's how it works. It's so simple. It's so simple. Obedience is required. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll obey my commandments. And my commandments are not burdensome. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You think doing it, try it, do it your own way. Go sing the Frank Sinatra song. I did it my way. Boring. He died a very unhappy man, by the way. You don't have to do that, thankfully, right? Within the joy of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit gives us, here's the kinds of things you will find, right? You will find humility, right? Being grounded, humus, dirt, ground, you know, humor. For the life of me, I don't understand why some Christians think that humor is secondary or somehow a sinful indulgence. You know, humor in Latin means moisture. We've talked about this. You ever met Christians that are dry? Just like, dude, just being around you just makes me feel like I'm going to snap in two. That's not the joy of the Lord, right? Forgiveness. Is forgiveness a category in your life? Sometimes you forgive other people as a gift to yourself, that they no longer have power over you. You may not trust them as far as you can throw them across Main Street. I know a ton of people in 35 years of ministry. I wouldn't trust them across as far as I could throw them. And you know, I'd like to throw them. That'd be fun. But I got to forgive. And I got to be grateful for all of God's blessings in my life. You got an attitude day? This day sucked. Sit down and write out 10 things that you're grateful to God for. Don't say this is not practical. This is practical faith right now. I'm thankful that I have a place to stay. I'm thankful I have food. You know, Deb wasn't joking this morning. You know, when people lose their EBT and SNAP benefits, there's some children that's going to go to hungry tonight. And we can talk about worthiness or unworthy. We can, but people need to eat, right? Haven House, they love us. One of the mean ladies came up to me when I was giving out coffee at Halloween. She said, we love your church. thank you for what you do. Man, this is so practical, right? Being grateful. Compassion, being compassionate. I didn't say pity people. That's a worldly thing. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that sucks. Ooh, don't get too close to me. I don't want to get what you got. That's not compassion. Compassion means to suffer with. I'm so sorry that happened. What can I do? Can I sit with you? Sometimes, you know, sometimes we go to funerals. Why does everybody think they got to talk? How about just shut up and be there and pray for the people and just love them? Maybe bring a plate. I don't know. Be generous. We talk about radical generosity. Has God not been generous to you? How can we not be generous? These are marks of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes people think the Holy Spirit, woo, you know. No, it's really practical. It's really practical, but we get it wrong, kind of unlike the time. And when a Catholic priest, am I on a roll here? I don't have a problem with Catholics. They've been good to me. But when a Catholic priest was walking through an African jungle in Uganda and he stumbled on a hungry lion, and just as the beast was about to pounce on the padre, he prayed, Lord, please hear my prayer. Fill this lion with your Holy Spirit. Huh. And the priest was amazed when the lion stopped dead in his tracks and a bright and heavenly light began warmly to glow all around the king of the jungle. And just like Acts 2, the lion's lips were loosed. And he looked intently into the sky. He folded his paws and said in perfect English, thank you, Lord, for these thy gifts which I'm about to receive in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's eat. The Spirit is not necessarily what we think it is sometimes. We make it so complicated, right? The movement and the work of the Holy Spirit can be found throughout Luke's gospel and even more so in the book of Acts. With your Bibles open, Acts 1:8, we love to talk about this because it's missional, right? Jesus said, Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. And for what reason? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So what's really interesting, at the end of Luke's gospel and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, we see Jesus ascending into heaven. That is the cue for the coming of the Holy Spirit that he promised. We see that in the Gospel of John, especially at the end, right? The Holy Spirit comes to indwell and to empower his apostles for a purpose, right? Just terms, right? Disciple means a student, right, of a teacher. An apostle is a specifically sent one. So the disciples of Jesus become apostles because he sends them forth in the power of the Holy Spirit for world evangelism and missions. Acts chapter 2. So here we are. The 50th day after the Sabbath of the Passover week, that's the day of Pentecost. It was a harvest festival, traditionally seen as also the time that God gave the law to Moses, and they're all gathered in one place. Look at the imagery. A great wind from heaven filled the whole house, what appeared to be tongues of fire resting on each of Jesus' hand-picked missionaries. So the Holy Spirit is symbolized, and you'll see this in stained glass and all kinds of Christian iconography stuff. You'll see the wind. So the Spirit of God is perceived as wind, the breath of God, fire, wine and joy, all kinds of these sorts of things. And verse 4 says, they are filled with the Spirit, they begin to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled. Now notice this, they were not strange languages, they were not unknown languages, they were not spiritual languages, as some of our other Christian friends may say. They were very real languages spoken by very real people at a very real time. It was very specific, very practical and purposeful in that, right? Real languages. So Dr. Luke names the specific languages and the specific places. You know, it would have taken years. I mean, how many of you have ever attempted to learn another language? It takes a long time, doesn't it? Now when I had Google Translate in China last year, that was a lifesaver. I wasn't going to learn Mandarin Chinese. It takes years, right? So I just type it in and just do this, and they go, oh, like, thanks. You know, now they have these little earbuds that supposedly translate for you. Anybody know about those? Like, I got to get me some of them. That'd be good. But language is hard. It takes a long time. God, in this specific, gave them the gift of tongues. In Greek, tongue and language mean the same thing. So that they could do what? So they could preach the gospel right out of the gate. There's very specific purposes for that. So they could carry on the work of evangelism and missions. Right? Multilingual people gather together in Jerusalem, celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Oh, what a picture of the church. People from every nation, tribe, language coming together, receiving Jesus Christ. This is a picture of what God's going to do over the time. And we see that, you know, hindsight is 2020, 2,000 years later. Did you know that the biggest push, missions, and the gospel has been in the last 150 years? Did you know Billy Graham preached to more people than all the apostles combined? He used the technologies and those things of the day to do that. This is just an example. You know, in 1900, Christianity was largely a white Western religion. In 2000, it's primarily a brown third world religion who doesn't speak English. And guess what? That's good news. That's really good news, because the gospel is going forth, and it's going forth through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why they're given this gift, right? Luke says people were amazed and perplexed. What does this mean? You know, there's always two sides, right? We're like, people are amazed and whatever. Other people were like, they didn't see it, and they're like, oh, I'll tell you what it means. They're all drunk. It's like, at 9 a.m.? Probably not. Later on in the passage, if you want to keep reading. But the Holy Spirit, there's always a division, isn't there? Those who obey the movements of the Spirit and those that reject them, right? We shouldn't be surprised. It happened right at the very beginning, right? They talk about spirits, right? You know, there's the Holy Spirit and then there's alcoholic spirits. And sometimes people confuse them, don't they? Right? Kind of like the time, since I'm on a roll, a Catholic priest had a hard day. I've known lots of priests. I was trained by the Jesuits, the schoolmasters of Europe, these guys. You know what's really hard? I'm thankful I don't have to do that. The confessional booth. They hear the most horrible things in a period of 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday night. Everybody's out having dinner, having a good time. These guys are hearing the most horrible things. You wonder why some Catholic priests drink, right? He walked into a bar, asked for the strongest drink they had, and he kept drinking throughout the night. And the bartender finally said, "You know, Father Murphy, I've always wondered why you Irish Catholics drink so much." To which he said, "Young man, the Bible says we should be filled with the spirits." "No, Father Murphy, the Bible says, be ye not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit," right? Just goes to show people have been confusing these things since Acts 2. Now, if you look at Luke's writings and the Acts of the Apostles, here are 5 telltale signs of the Holy Spirit's indwelling a Christian life, right? And we've talked about these before. Here in Acts 2, we see the first one. It's bold proclamation. We got to tell others about the Lord and his love for them. Have you ever been cornered by a well-meaning Christian and it's really uncomfortable? I have fun with these. You know, they kind of corner, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" And I'm like, "Can I get away from you?" And then I just let them do their shtick, and then I eventually tell them, "Oh yeah, I'm a pastor," whatever, and I basically wasted their time, but it was just all weird and awkward. That's not what it's about. Sharing the Lord should be the most natural thing in your life. Don't force it, right? Sometimes if they ain't asking, they ain't listening. You know, I have family members like, that's a no-fly zone. So I don't pour it out on them. I'll talk about it quietly on the sides or something. You need Holy Spirit discernment for this, right? Discernment is a mark of the Spirit as well, because we're being sensitive. But bold proclamation. I make no apologies for being a Christian. I make zero I love to talk about the Lord. When I was a professor in Chicago, I would talk about the Lord to my students. I didn't care. I was protected by a powerful priest, too. You can't tell them about Jesus and whatever. I'm like, yes, I can, and I will. And they loved it. It was the fellow professors that didn't like me doing that. Interesting. How about that? Bold proclamation is a telltale sign of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. We've said this before, great joy. How much joy do you live with in your life? Or is joy rare? Right? Joy is different than happiness. That's based on the circumstances of your life. Well, this worked out today and that was cool, so I'm happy. Well, that comes and goes, but joy is a gift of the Spirit. It indwells you. I think of and pray for Dwight Peterson with some of his pain management issues right now. One of the things he told me, I said, how did you survive 53 years of ministry? I asked him once at lunch. He said, that's easy. It's the joy of the Lord. I'm like, that's it, isn't it? I'm not feeling too joyful today. I don't know if I'm going to make it, you know? It's something we receive. We don't muster it up by our own work. We can just count God's blessings in your life. So Holy Spirit joy is so important. You'll notice this, with the Spirit dwelling in your life, you're not going to be so interested in evil and sin and wickedness. It's boring, right? You ever notice people who do the same dumb stuff over and over, it gets boring? It's just like, why do you keep doing that? It's like hitting your head against the wall. You know, have you tried it God's way? Can we do it God's way for a change? I mean, my counseling office will never be closed because people are always trying to do it their own way. You know, it's like, how about trying it God's way? Maybe I'll try it God's way now. Okay, how about that, right? Expulsion of sin and wickedness. We don't even want it. It's a dead-end street. How about deep curiosity, wanting to grow in your faith? Right? What does this mean? Or how can I draw closer to God? Or how can I have more victory in my life? And of course, godly, selfless love. Right? Not what the world proclaims and that kind of thing, but as St. Thomas Aquinas said, love is willing the good of the other. I want nothing but God's best for you in your life with nothing for me, no kickbacks. My joy comes from your being blessed and faithful. That is a joy. Right? And you know, if you love people in a Christian sort of way, it freaks them out. Right? All right, what's the deal? Oh, you want me to come to your church, right? You want my money, right? No, I want you to be well in Jesus Christ. And I believe that if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to want to be a part of this in some way. Let's see what God has for you. Those are telltale signs of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, you could say, is the breath of God, right? Poured out on us. It infills our dead bodies. The Spirit, it's the Spirit of creation, right? Where the Spirit's over the surface of the deep, and he said what? Let there be life. The Holy Spirit, there will always be life when the Holy Spirit is around. The Holy Spirit is the flag of joy. The Holy Spirit is conviction of sin and righteousness. The Holy Spirit is wisdom in filling anyone who would ask. Let me encourage you today, this week, if it's been a while, ask God for his Holy Spirit. Fill me, Spirit of God, so that I may truly please you and be useful to you and to others, right? To be kissed by the Holy Spirit is to taste life. To ignore the Spirit is to shrivel up and die. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to renounce your very life and to send you not only to an early grave, but to hell itself. Have you ever noticed people are, you know, ego, edging God out? They're just committed to doing it their way, and they will go to the grave doing that. Have you noticed people like this? Don't tell me what to do, right? I don't want your God. And they go all the way, they go to a miserable death. Have you noticed this? Or is it just me? I'm like, dude, you don't have to do it that way. But this is me being egotistic. It's like, no, don't do that. Yeah, kind of unlike the time. This is bad theology. When Jesus, his mother Mary, and the Holy Spirit wanted to go on a vacation together, Holy Spirit, let's go to the healing shrine of Lourdes in France. You know about that one? All these healings take place. It's crazy. Mary said, let's not go there. People will recognize me, and that'd be more like work than a vacation. I want to go a place where, you know, I won't be bothered. Oh, okay. Mary said, let's go to the holy city of Jerusalem, to which Jesus said, let's not. I kind of had a bad experience there. And then Jesus said, let's go to Rome and visit the Vatican, to which the Holy Spirit said, oh, yes, let's go. I've never been there before. All right. I don't hate Catholics. They've been good to me, actually. So we find that Dr. Luke highlights a number of Jesus themes throughout his two-volume work in the New Testament. Jesus eats with people. That's why one of the reasons we do potluck, because we do enjoy eating. But I mean, it brings people together, right? And brings lives together. And Luke notes that kind of thing. The place of the least of these and the outcasts of society, we see that on both spectrums, from a prostitute anointing Jesus' feet at a high-end dinner party, that was scandalous, or look at wealthy and equally hated Zacchaeus, who had so much money, but everybody hated him. Jesus ministers to all of the outcasts of society. He continues to do so. And we see here the vital importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we continue on in the next couple weeks before Thanksgiving, we're going to look at other themes like Jesus's view and role of women, which is really fascinating. And we take that for granted today, but you couldn't in Jesus's day, as well as important practices like prayer and worship, which is so important to us. So these are Jesus themes in Dr. Luke. So let's pray. Father, thanks for today. So much going on in the life of your church. We just, again, thank you for the breadth of it, from babies to seniors to everything in between. We get to be your hands and feet in this time and place. We get to do it here in Hamilton, whether it's giving out candy to kids or helping Sam on his demonstration farm in East Africa. Thank you for empowering us and having your Holy Spirit indwell in us. And so, Lord, as we come to the communion table, the table of Jesus, and as we come to the potluck, we just pray your blessing upon them. We do pray for the food that we're going to enjoy and ask you to bless it in the hands that have prepared it. And we pray that as we come to this Jesus table in communion, we would be able to take those moments and spend them with you in gratitude and with one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.